submit. You gotta submit. Gotta submit.
Welcome to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, where we talk about life because it happens to everyone, along with some great indie musicians' Q&A sessions. So come aboard, kick back, and let's vibe.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast.
You gotta submit. You gotta submit.
This subject is about couples that have been together for a while and how do you keep it going and keep it alive, you know, after so many years? Welcome to this week's episode where I'm speaking to couples on how to maintain and have a successful marriage. And the couple this week is Richard and Vanessa Peraza. How you folks doing?
Great.
Doing good, Nate. Doing good. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It's kind of hard to find some couples that want to talk about, you know, making it work. And you guys have, is it 20? 20 plus? At 20?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's call it 20.
Is this a second marriage or just first?
Second for both of us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you guys like vets in the game. You already been through the ups and downs of the first one. Like, okay, we're going to get this second one right.
That's right.
That's right.
And I'm sure it wasn't a walk in the park.
Compared to my first marriage, it's a walk in the park. But no, it hasn't been.
Well, you're better equipped now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, better equipped. Why don't you go ahead and start?
So where did it all start? I'm trying to help people understand that marriage is still important. Marriage is still, you know, it's a good thing to do. And I just want evidence from couples that's got time in service that speak on it, you know, to give, you know, your take on it and how it works for you guys to try to give people a little hope that, hey, marriage is still a good thing.
Well, we both had come out of some pretty rocky marriages and we both had a little bit of time out of that marriage. And we just happened to have like a kind of a miracle meeting is what I like to call it. He was an overload trucker and I was a businesswoman who used to do some conference meetings and things like that over the phone early in the morning, early. I was in Utah. He was based out of California. And it happened to be one evening, just very, very late in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, there was like a radio show that where you could sit and talk to other folks about different topics. We happened to both be trying to stay awake, him trying to drive over the road. And I was trying to stay awake and do some reports. We ended up chatting and kind of became just some phone buddies because he was in California based out of there. I was in Utah. Well, one day we finally just decided to meet when he was in Utah. We met for lunch and we ended up talking through lunch. I called the office and said I wasn't coming back and we had some dinner. And then he headed back to California and we just continued talking from there. And every time he would make it to Utah, we'd get back together and we started going out on some dates and things like that. It progressed really quick because we both had some time in between our marriages ending and both deciding to kind of start exploring the dating world. And we ended up just finding each other just out of a chance meeting. It was the only way we'd have ever crossed each other's paths otherwise. And found out we were just really super compatible. And so our relationship progressed pretty quick. And within a couple of years, you know, we were a couple. And soon after that, we were together for life.
That's interesting how you met.
It was very weird.
So it was like a radio talk show or something?
Yeah, it was just like one of those late night talk shows.
No, it wasn't a late night show. It was like, in all honesty, it was like it was closer to like a hookup line.
It wasn't hookup, but it was people who were... Listen, it was one of those talk lines, and I'm sure people used it for that. But that's not what either one of us were on there for. He was trying to stay awake while he was driving to get to Utah. I was staying awake to get my reports ran because I had clients on the East Coast, and he was the only normal one on the line. And I think I was probably pretty close to the only normal one, so we ended up gravitating toward each other. And from there, we jumped off of that instantly almost and started talking.
Real time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Richard, that's our story. We stick with it.
I'm kind of sticking to my side of things because my side of the story because, you know, it was late at night. I was driving into town And I was looking just for what, you know, it was this, it was like a party line, you know, the old school party lines where you would call in and, you'd hear, who was online and they'd have a little description of themselves and stuff like that. You remember that when that first started up?
This was before social media.
Yeah. And all this was before social media and all that. And
no, I didn't know that.
I was kind of looking just to get lucky, you know, whatever.
We weren't even in the same state at that point.
Yeah, we weren't even in the same state.
He was looking to get lucky, Vanessa.
Well, he got lucky, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Not the way he was looking for.
So, you know, one thing led to another. I wasn't really looking for a relationship, but like Vanessa stated, turns out we were really compatible. We didn't fight a lot. We didn't argue a lot.
At all, to be honest.
Yeah, we our views on life and family were very similar. And I just never got on her nerves, you know. I just, you know, she isn't really very dramatic. She doesn't start fights. And it's kind of easy. It's kind of easy when you when you're with a girl like that.
Yeah, I know I have one. Now,
yeah,
makes a difference on the second round, especially if you've been in a tumultuous one. The first round, it's like all I want is peace.
yeah. When you come from a tumultuous relationship where there's a drama, to put it mildly, on a forget about a daily basis, an hourly basis. Yeah, I feel very fortunate to have met her. Even though it was kind of nuts the way we did, we both turned out to be kind of normal people, and it just worked out, you know. I quit over the road. I came back to L.A. That was in 2008. And then once her kids kind of grew up and went their separate ways, she just got up and moved down here to Southern California in 2009. And she's been out ever since.
Yeah. So, okay, Richard, you have kids too, right? You first?
Yeah. My kids, my boys were very young when I first met Vanessa, very young.
So, you know, I like to say where there's a will, there's a way to make it work, because we definitely did not have our work cut out for us, because I had three sons from a previous marriage, but my children were junior high school age. His were 3 and 2.5 and 4. So I was basically almost done raising my kids, and he had two small kids, all boys, between us. So it was not easy for us to make this relationship work. Part of it was long distance. And so, you know, relationships take a lot of work and understanding.
Right. It sounds almost like my story, because my kids was 2 and 4, and my wife, her kids, she had her last kid was getting out of high school. So yeah, I came with the babies, and she's like, I'm done raising my kids, and here come a whole new set of two girls. And so, yeah, it took some work, but hey, it's all good now.
Yeah. So like I said, she stayed in Utah, you know, her kids, most of her family is from Utah. So when her kids finished with high school, you know, they did not want to leave their friends and family. So they all stayed there. And Vanessa's like, you know, it's now or never. So she made the jump. She made the leap. She came out here and kind of started a whole new life out here, and just been through a lot of ups and downs up here. Not so much with the relationship, but she's had a lot of personal things she's had to deal with. And I don't know if you want to.
So when I moved out here, I had resigned from a position I'd been at for quite some time in Utah, got a really good position out here in California. But pretty soon after that, right before I was ready to start that career opportunity, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Ooh.
And so that kind of put all of our plans. They came to a screeching halt. And so we were now, you know, here I was being a step parent to two little kids and going through stage four cancer. Richard had to become pretty much a caretaker, something he had never done before. And so it kind of threw our whole world upside down. But, you know, I look back on it some days and I don't know how we got through it, but I think it was that those initial first couple of years that we were together that we built a really strong foundation, and we realized that we had a great relationship and that if we just stayed the course, we could get through everything.
Yeah, that was it. We were friends.
That's
more
key.
Than anything else.
Key word.
Yeah, that's
right. Be there. Friends before you become lovers.
Yeah. We were friends. I know that sounds kind of corny.
No, it don't.
You know, and if I was listening to this and I was a teenager, I'm like, what? But now that, you know, in my 50s, I totally get it. And I can respect that. And it was crucial just because with her two stage four cancer diagnosis. I mean, shit, that's a lot to carry.
Yes.
Especially with me having two young kids coming off of the divorce and all that. And, you know, her health issues.
Nate,
it was nuts. It was nuts. And that in itself could have broken a lot of relationships up, but just because we were friends and we had that strong grounding, I no longer had law enforcement showing up my house. I no longer was being thrown out of my house. I was in a stable relationship despite her health challenges. I was in a stable relationship with a girl that would cause no drama that got up and tried. She literally tries to make my life easier each and every single day. And when you have someone like that,
hold on tight.
Like, you hold on tight, and no matter what comes up, you're gonna make sure she gets through it.
Yeah, we had a lot of emotional grounding between us, and we both understood what it was like to come from relationships where only one side was putting 100%, or at least the perception, and you know. We knew that there was no such thing as a perfect relationship, and that they have their ups and their downs. And there's times where you go through the lovey-dovey, can't live without you honeymoon phases. And then those pink clouds go away sometimes, and you go through the rough and rocky times, you know, but you've just got to hang on tight, because you're never going to find a relationship that's on that pink cloud all the time. You're just not.
And it helps when, you guys are on the same page on a lot of issues. You and I kind of think alike, we think alike and we agree on the same things. We disagree on the same things. You know, we're not clones of each other, but we're not too far off. It's kind of like my friendship with you, Nate. I mean, the more I get to know you, it's, you sound a lot like me, except for I don't have your talent, you know, all the stuff you've shown me. Of what you do with your music and your writing skills. Damn. That's why I was telling you yesterday, we were sitting there in line. It's like, damn, this dude's got some skills, man. I'm surprised maybe you already have, and just, it didn't work out. Surprised that,
hey man,
it hasn't gone further, because
the system does not like
some creative songs, dude. You've written some creative songs. I enjoyed them all. I thought they were all funny.
Thank you, but the system doesn't like the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so that's pretty much I can say. I've just got a girl that's down to earth. She doesn't stir up trouble. When I come home, she's always welcoming. She's, you know, she's not calling me during the day with issues. She's not calling me during the day angry at me for something I did, something I said, something I forgot, something I didn't do. Yeah, I mean, you name it. There's 100 different reasons why a woman could be upset with you. And even when she is upset with me, she keeps it in perspective. It's, if we have a disagreement, it just stays a disagreement.
Right.
But it doesn't threaten the relationship. It doesn't threaten our day. We don't really have bad days. We don't have bad nights. We have a few bad moments, and it's, and we just move on. I'm grateful. And I don't turn into big arguments, and neither does she. And maybe it's an age thing. Now that we're both in our 50s, maybe we just learn to settle down. And
did you know that over 92% of people in the United States are deficient in one or more vitamins or minerals? Unfortunately, the foods we eat just don't have enough of the vitamins and minerals our bodies need to maximize our immune systems, strengthen our organs, and help our bodies perform at their best. It's also the reason why so many people get sick. In fact, over 80% of patients who got COVID-19 were deficient in vitamin D, and up to 82% critically ill patients are deficient in vitamin C. The fact is, we need supplements. And now, for the first time ever, you can get the highest quality, most complete supplements on the market for prices that anyone can afford. With Live Good, you can afford to be healthy. Check out joinnatenow.com and check out the 6-minute video. Leave a good name and email, and we'll get with you with more information. Have a great day.
Yeah, it came through. You know, we went through some pretty rocky times at one little space in our relationship. And believe it or not, it wasn't even actually when I was going through the stage 4 cancer. Shortly after I'd lost both my parents in pretty close succession to each other, you know, I kind of got into a little bit of a depression, and I developed a little bit of a drinking problem that I couldn't contain on my own. And, you know, Richard was very supportive. He helped.
Yeah. So let me make this point, Nate. It's not like that we've had the perfect relationship. Hell no,
oh,
man.
Heavens no.
Yeah. Right. We've been through shit. We really have.
That's what the people need to know. It's not all peaches and cream.
We don't have this fairy tale.
From the outside, it may look that way.
Yeah. Outside, it may look, but yeah. Why don't you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I used to be a social drinker when he first met me. We would go to some nightclubs. We had some fun times. We threw some great parties. And after I lost my parents and I moved to California and went through my first stage 4 cancer diagnosis, it all seemed well because I got through all that, but it caught up with me really quick. And then kind of some depression set in with not having a career anymore when I'd always been so independent. And my grown children were living in Utah. So all these changes at once. And I found myself, you know, having a couple drinks in the afternoon. And then if I was sad, I'd have a drink and take a nap. It just, you know, it progresses. And, you know, pretty soon I wasn't able to control it anymore. It was controlling me. And it was a drink in the morning, drink in the afternoon, drink in the evening, drink for any occasion. And when Richard finally noticed that it was a problem, you know, when I just could not control it any longer, you know, we agreed to get me some help, and he was really supportive. He got me into a rehab, and he agreed to just jump in, you know, both feet in and help me in the recovery process. And that was, as a matter of fact, just last week, last Wednesday on Valentine's Day, I took a 13-year chip for 13 years sober. And so right. we've gone through some stuff, and he's still to this day, him and our children that we raised here, his two sons, I call them my two sons also, but, mm-hmm. You know, they came and they gave me a birthday cake, and, you know, so we just kind of realized that there's going to be ups and downs. And I think that in my perspective, that's what's wrong with the Institute of Marriage these days, is that if people think that if you're not happy and you're not, you know, all of these things, these good feelings, if they're not there all the time, there's something wrong. And feelings are just not facts, and they come and go. Uh-huh. You know, you got to work through it.
Yeah. Okay. So you had to blend the family. Richard had the young kids. You had the kids getting out of high school and going on. I mean, how did the kids, your kids, Vanessa, look at you like, hey, you taking on a whole new family with the guy with babies and stuff? Did they have any issues with it, or they accepted it?
You know, I can tell you, I think there, I got the needle in the haystack, because it was going to take like the perfect storm, mm-hmm. for us to blend our families, because I needed a man that was going to come in knowing that I had young men on the verge of manhood that, mm-hmm. were not going to accept some man jumping in and being their boss or trying to be their new daddy, or, mm-hmm. you know. And Richard came in as a mentor. he didn't overstep his bounds. He let me still, you know, kind of guide the ship as far as they were concerned until they had respect.
That was their friend more than anything else.
Yeah, until they gained some respect for him. And then he was able to try to help guide them from a mentor aspect. And as far as the little ones, I mean, it was wonderful. His youngest, or our youngest, Alex, I don't think he really remembers the time that I wasn't part of his world. Mm-hmm. And Brandon, vaguely, you know, the 23-year-old, because they were so young when right. I came into the world. So, but my older kids, they love them. I mean, they come down here. They come from Utah. They're still all out in Utah. We actually have a grandson now, and he lives out in Utah. And they come down here a couple times a year and stay with us. And everybody gets along great.
That's good too.
Part of it worked out really well.
Yeah, and Vanessa had to deal with a lot of issues with my ex. At every turn, my ex would make it difficult on me. And whether it was legally, whether it was financially, whether it was even through visitation with my kids. I mean, even though she instigated and wanted the divorce and separation and everything, once I met somebody, then things just got so much worse. And she went out of her ways to make it difficult for me. Vanessa had to be completely understanding, because my attitude really wasn't to fight back. Uh-huh. My attitude was just to just keep my mouth shut, because at the end of the day, I wanted to spend time with my kids, and fighting with her would only make that worse and make it more difficult. So whatever obstacle I had to do to keep her happy and to keep her quiet, I would do. And most of the times that meant just giving her more money. Money would solve a lot of issues, and which made it difficult on us. But, you know, I got to have my boys over every weekend. I actually spent a lot of time with them, not just the other week, you know, every other weekend type of thing. I got to spend a lot more time than a lot of fathers are allowed to spend. So yeah, it was a lot of crap I had to deal with. But, you know, nowadays my kids live with me, man. They can't get enough of me, and it all comes around.
Yeah.
Just because I was always there for them. Yep. Always, you know, we were always there for them. We made them our priority, and
right.
regardless of what pressures or what outside influences, my ex, whatever she threw at us, you know, I was there every Friday afternoon. I was there to pick them up, and every Sunday night I would return them. And every weekend was just dedicated to them. So things kind of worked out, and I'm just so fortunate with Vanessa that she kind of understood all that. You know, Vanessa had plenty of opportunities to say, you know what, screw her, screw this. This isn't fair. This isn't right. You know, we're going to go to war. She just kind of had my attitude where we would just keep quiet. Let's not ruffle her feathers just because it's going to make life miserable for my kids, because she's that type. She's that type. You make her upset, everyone in her world is going to be just as upset as she is. And so I try to give my boys, even when they weren't with me, I wanted to give them a home life that wasn't traumatizing, you know, kept them in the same home. Even though I wasn't living there anymore, I was the one paying for it. But it all worked out, Nate. It all worked out. All those sacrifices worked out. And I was just lucky to have a woman that realized that the kids come first, and our time will come later. You know, our needs, our wants, our desires, our vacations, all that will come once her kids are grown. So it took a lot of understanding, Nate. It took a lot of understanding. There aren't very many women that would have dealt with that, you know. I had a lot of baggage in a way, and it wasn't me. It was just my past, you know, but I found someone that was willing to put up with all that.
You found a friend.
Yeah. And here we are. Yeah. I found a friend.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I guess that, like I say, it's very important to be friends, because sometimes you can deal with each other as friends than, you know, like spouses or mates. Cause it's like my wife and I, we might get in some type of situation where we don't like each other for a minute because of whatever. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we have to like hit the switch. Like, look, I don't want to talk to my spouse. Bring me my friend so I can communicate with my friend. Cause my friend we can talk as friends and then talk on that level, and then we'll deal with the spouse situation later. So it's that's the kind of like the thing we do. If we get caught up where we don't like each other as spouses, we call on our friend in each other, and then we get through it like that. It helps.
Yeah, we really took a lot of time, because I think the key to it, with so many blended marriages these days, and not even necessarily the blended marriages, but if you don't have that friendship foundation, my goodness, you're gonna hit a wall, because it, like we've said, I mean, we had a big roller coaster that we went up and down with, my alcohol addiction, the stage 4 cancer diagnosis, dealing with, you know, an ex situation, which if you're, you know, coming out of into a second marriage, there's usually always an ex from either side or both.
Right.
And especially when you have kids from both sides.
Yeah. You're forever connected. Oh, froze up.
Some really good talks. Be able to take it out of the anger phase and just take the emotion out of it a little bit and sit down and just talk logically with one another. And, you know, just be able to bring it right back around to what really brought you two together. Because it wasn't, you know, we had a good long stretch of time where, you know, where I was so sick that the whole, you know, the whole intimacy part of it and all of that stuff, it had to be put on the back burner.
Right.
Caretaker for me. And so we went through a long stretch of time there where we were just almost like each other's best friend, and then we had to grow back together once I was well, you know, health wise. So, you know, if you just build that love and respect for each other, and you know that, you know, the good in each other, and you've seen the best and the worst, and you try to bring out that best in the other person, there's just, I don't know anything after what we've been through that we couldn't get through that could come our way these days.
Yeah, that was some hard stuff. Stage 4, it's like you're on the verge of death. And then
they told me I had 6 months to live.
Wow. So how do you guys overcome that? Just, you know, the belief that, hey, are we going to get through this, or this is it? We're going to take the doctor's word?
I can only imagine Vanessa was scared to death, but. And I was also scared, but call me crazy, Nick. I mean, Nate, call me crazy. But I always just had this belief that, hey, you know what? I don't care what the doctor says.
Right.
We're going to find something to cure you. So whether it was through supplements, nutrition, I was kind of like her coach, just saying, hey, man, if you don't give up on yourself, I won't give up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And
that helps. God, man. That helps.
And yeah. And through prayer and belief, and
it was pure faith.
It really is, Nate. It really is.
It was I had to believe that I could beat it. And so regardless of what they told me, I just kept, you know, I would believe what Richard researched. He would put me on different, you know, homeopathic stuff. No, I didn't stop listening to the doctors, but, right. You know, I was willing to try the things Richard wanted me to try. And to this day, my doctors, they still call me their miracle patient, because they can't believe I'm still here.
Yeah, they don't know everything.
I ended up with a permanent colostomy, and, you know, so I still have some health issues today, but they consider me cured. I've got over 10 years cancer free.
Wow. Yeah, you just got to, I guess, change your diet and whatever
it takes.
And lots of prayer.
Yeah.
You know, your belief in a higher power.
Man. Yeah, that sounds like some super glue stuff.
Sometimes.
What'd you say, Vanessa?
I said attitude is everything.
Yeah. Gotta have a good attitude. And
she had the desire to keep living. And man, I'm grateful for that.
Wow.
I'm really grateful for that. You know, she didn't to beat one stage 4 diagnosis, right. is hard enough, but to do it twice.
It's like, hey,
she said it's been over 10 years. Her doctors consider her like not even in remission. She just flat out she doesn't have any more chances of getting cancer than I do, or than anyone who's never been diagnosed to begin with. They consider her like free of cancer because it's been 10 years now.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And it's nuts, Nate. It's just nuts. What are the odds of that?
But then the situation like that makes you stronger, the bond stronger, and, you know, when you pull through together.
Considering all the things she needed, I mean, that's all you have. But like she said, you know, with respect and love that we've had for one another, that just doesn't go away, you know?
Right.
So
it just gets stronger. You know, the challenges come and get stronger.
She would have done it for me.
Yeah. For sure.
You know? She would have done it for me. So we're,
and that's what marriage is all about, man. Just getting through life as a unit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And reaching the maturity. Cause a lot of it, you know, I could say I'm a lot different than I was 25 years ago. You know, I can appreciate her or a woman in general more than maybe I did when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it comes with maturity, with age.
And the beautiful thing is that, you know, that the two sons that live here in California with us, watching our relationship over the years, you know, they both strive to have a relationship like mine and his.
Yeah.
They love that we're just a fun loving couple. We don't fight. We don't scream and yell and call names. We don't swear at each other. We don't do those kind of things. You know, we don't say things we can't take back.
Right. I sometimes.
Well, he does, but not in a really mean way.
Yeah, not in a real mean way, but she's more of she's better at that than I am, Nate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not perfect. There's things that I have said.
Out of anger? Or are you frustrated?
Just temporary, just dumb stuff, Nate. Just dumb stuff that comes up.
Own it.
That I sometimes blow up, but it doesn't turn into much because she doesn't match me.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Try to out.
She'll say, you know what? Instead of having it turn into a big fight, she'll say, you know what? Why don't you call me when you can actually talk to me?
And sound like my wife.
Yeah. She's
like, you're not gonna disrespect me, buddy. So when you calm down, I'm here for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so she'll put out the fire just like through her reasoning.
That's wisdom.
Through her reasoning, and I quickly catch on to that.
Oh yeah, you know,
and so you know she has a lot to do with it. Like I said, she does. You know, she keeps her cool, man. She keeps her cool, and that's why disagreements don't turn into big fights.
Right.
Just because she nips it in the butt.
Yeah.
She nips it in the butt. So, you know, props to you.
Yeah. So, sounds like you got a Proverbs 31 woman there.
Yeah. Props to her. For
man. Yeah. That's what makes it work, man. It just, you know, just loving each other, respecting each other as individuals. And
she does that. Drives me nuts.
So what?
There's a couple of things I don't like about her. She kind of knows that it would drive any man crazy. And there's just silly stuff like her inability to get from point A to point B. Sometimes I feel like I'm with a child because if she needs to go somewhere, if you don't,
we keep freezing.
She's directionally challenged, Nate, at a level you would not believe. You would not believe, Nate.
If they ever do away with GPS,
you better ride for Uber.
Nate, it's there's silly things that that makes me upset. Oh my God. But she's just, you know, she spends too much money. There's things that all women do.
Not all women. Cause my woman don't spend a lot of money.
Oh, well, this one does. This one likes to spend. She spends too much money. She doesn't, like I said, she's directionally challenged. I couldn't, if I had to send her to the Sun Valley Yard to come pick me up, it would take
Vanessa.
So Vanessa,
he's throwing you under the bus right now.
I can only partially defend myself because I really am directionally challenged. I can get turned around so quickly in my own neighborhood, but with a GPS, I'm pretty good.
You're okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay.
Really?
Hey, driving at nighttime up the 126 doesn't count. I got turned around.
Hey, Richard, it sounds like it's never going to change. So you might as well just adjust your attitude.
Yeah, that's my attitude.
Acceptance. He's just got to accept it.
I've accepted it's never going to change. I've accepted that she's kind of always going to spend on stuff on we don't really need, stuff she doesn't really need. If you were to go and see our closets, they're exploding with all her stuff. I've got maybe this much space out of a closet that goes from one wall to the other. I've got this much space.
See, perfect. I don't
know if you can see that.
Perfect is not in the cards here, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's progress, not perfection.
Yeah, it's always something. But overall, you guys sound like you got a good relationship.
We got high class problems.
Yeah, we got first world problems. No, nothing real.
But nothing real. All the basics are solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the basics are very solid, Nate. Thank God for peace. I've got peace in my life.
Yeah. So.
I've got peace. So.
And that's priceless. So let her shop, Richard.
Dude, that is priceless because, you know, despite her cancer diagnosis and alcoholism and stuff. And she deals with it. Her life is dedicated to helping others.
Giving back service to people. That's what
I do. Yeah.
I love service from morning till night. I help and sponsor women in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And you know what they're going through. You know exactly what they're going through, so you can speak on it from the heart.
And the crazy thing about it is in most situations, alcohol was not even their problem. You know, alcohol is just a symptom, and it's usually living life on life's terms.
It's a Band-Aid. And,
so when you just help them get down to the root of what made them drink in excess to begin with, and, you know, you can heal relationships, marriages. I mean, it's a beautiful program, and I just can't get enough of it.
The internet keep blinking out periodically, so we're going to chop it up and get the best of the conversation.
Very good.
Yeah, freaking internet. We're talking good stuff and you want to blank out? How dare you? We're giving life nuggets and you're blinking out? Yeah. Any advice for any young couples?
My gosh, man. Okay, here's my advice, Nate. Here's my advice. Sometimes divorce is the best thing for you. I don't know. But my advice is that relationships shouldn't be that difficult. It really shouldn't be. If you require lots of counseling, in my opinion, it's not the right relationship. I can honestly say we don't need no counseling. I mean, we can talk
counsel yourself.
Yeah. And it's done. In the past, we won't bring that up, but I was actually married right out of high school, dude. I was married right out of high school and it didn't last, and for good reasons. And even my second marriage didn't last. But I'm glad they didn't, because it would have been too much work. It would have been ups. A life of ups and downs, of draining conversations, emotions. And no. Sometimes you're better off going in your separate ways. So the things that I deal with Vanessa are life circumstances, not so much our relationship. Our relationship stays the same. Life throws things at you. So my advice is find someone that's similar to you, man. Someone you genuinely get along with. Even if you weren't in a relationship, would you want to be hanging around this other person? And if the answer is yes, maybe that's someone, maybe you need to take it to the next level.
Yep. I agree with that.
And that would be my advice, man. Find yourself a girl or a guy that's cool, that's, you know, that you're friends, that you can be friends with. Because if it's just based on passion and emotion, shit, man, that goes, your life is going to be a series of ups and downs and breakups and makeups.
Emptiness.
Forget it. No way.
Yeah, you want somebody to do life with. What do you say, Vanessa? Yes.
And I say that, you know, when you meet that person that you vibe with, that you understand, that you have a good time with, you know, as on a friendship level, on a passionate and intimate level, and you're firing on all cylinders, and you decide to make a life with that person, there's a reason that marriage vows tell you. It's not like it should be some big secret, you know, for better, for worse, in sickness and health, richer or poorer. You know, it's not like they didn't give you some, you know, the guidelines before you get into a relationship, because that's telling you there's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times, because there's no perfect relationship and you've got to stay the course. Even when things seem the darkest, you have to remember where your foundation is at and why you got together to begin with. And that love doesn't go away. Sometimes it takes a backseat when things get tough, but as long as you work through it and, you know, just, you know, bring out the best in each other. And for me, the biggest thing is to have that pause button. When I, you know, when I'm agitated, when I'm, you know, all of these things that I want to pick a fight, I just pause and I think through, I kind of just play this tape through my head and just take a deep breath and try to speak rationally. Because sometimes, you know, your emotions, feelings are just not always facts. They can get overinflated and cause a lot of drama. You know, if you can just pause for a moment and get out of the emotion, get out of the feeling and talk the facts for just a minute, things can usually settle down. But it's really just stay the course, because you're never going to find somebody that it's going to be perfect all the time. I just don't believe that's possible.
Where else, Nate, am I going to find a girl that gets up with me at 4 o'clock in the morning, makes my coffee, packs my lunch, irons my clothes, has dinner waiting for me when I get home? That just doesn't exist anymore. So I don't care what she does. Yeah, she spends too much damn money. Yeah, it's obnoxious that she gets lost all the damn time, but I don't care.
Just two issues? You're doing good.
Yeah. The good outweigh the bad, 100 to 1.
And wow. For everything that I do for him, he does it just for exactly for me on the opposite side. You know, he's up at 4 a.m. going to work to provide security. And, you know, he gives me a life that I don't have to worry about anything. You know, so he's provided a very beautiful life for me. So I'm very grateful.
I like it. And that's so, my friend, is what the world needs to hear.
She's willing to overlook things too. So,
yeah, because Richard, I know you got some issues she don't like. She just pass it on to God.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike you, Richard. Unlike you, she spent your damn much and she don't know where she's going.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah. You said that with some passion, Vanessa.
Oh, he did. Because, well, here's the thing. I don't know a man. Listen. I don't know a man that can.
It froze up. Unfreeze. We had a couple of glitches, but we got the gist of the family. The family secrets here.
Yeah.
But that's the family secret, man.
I want to thank you guys for sharing your story of marriage and, you know, all the parts and the moving parts and the ups and downs, and you're still together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So this is my episode. Yeah. Lifers. That's what it's out. Lifers. Yeah. It's a marathon.
Yeah. It's definitely a marathon, dude.
Yeah, a lot of people get not in there. Sprint. Yeah. A lot of people get in there and be sprinters. Then they run out of gas and like, hey, it didn't work. Oh no, you got to prepare for the marathon.
Oh, I know about that. No, I'm grateful. Every day I'm grateful for what I have. So
yeah.
As long as I have my, God bless me with good health, man. Mm-hmm.
And in your right mind.
Hey, life is a blessing. You get up in the morning, you have life. You know, shit, dude. I mean, you're ahead of the game. There's so many people that don't have that.
Yeah.
You know?
He even divulged at breakfast yesterday morning with one of my girlfriends. He told her that the first day he had lunch with me, he would have married me that day.
Wow.
I would have, because, oh my God, it's like I met a sweet girl.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta grab them and hold them, because, you know, they moving on. If you don't put like a stake in the ground and say, hey, you coming with me, let's put this together, because I don't want nobody else to get you like that and waste your time. I don't want nobody else to waste your time. Let's build some time together and build a dynasty here.
Yeah.
And it took a few years, you know.
Of course.
I lived down here. She lived up there. But when the time was right, boom.
Bam. Make your move.
Yeah. It came together, dude. It came together. Here we are.
Cool.
2024. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Working it out. Okay, folks.
But thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
I'm very honored you asked us.
Thanks for coming on. And I'm going to have maybe a couple of more series. I might do that whole month of March. I got to get like maybe two more couples. I got one before you guys, and I need another two couples.
Vanessa knows a lot of people. Maybe you can ask around. She knows a lot of couples, a lot of people.
They've been married for a while. Got some time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just want to promote that marriage is worth it. You know, when you're with the right person and you work in the work. Willing to work together and build something, it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And some of your friends, they love any type of attention or spotlight. So, just ask around.
Well, what?
You'll have them lining up, literally. Oh,
I don't want to do the whole year on marriages. Maybe I can dedicate the month of March. You know, that's going to be my third season, you know, kicking off in March. Wow. So, nice. Yeah.
Good deal, Nate.
We can kick it off with being successful in marriages. Okay, yeah, we'll wrap it up. Well, thank you for coming on the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. It's been a plum pleasing pleasure.
Thank you for having us,
Nate. We'll talk to you soon, pal.
You've heard it exclusively on Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
Gotta submit. You gotta submit. Gotta submit.
Thanks for listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. We appreciate every one of you.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
You gotta submit.